I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Gary, Rami, and Sparky have been going at it for 3 hours, but haven't crashed and burned yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time for the guys to reset the big topics from today's big show and let you pick a lane.
Pick a Lane is brought to you by the Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, where the 2017 summer racing season is in full swing. Go to GreatLakesDragway.com for the full season schedule, daily track updates, and to purchase discounted ticket packages.
5 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show from the Holtz Chevrolet Studios with the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson and the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Rami Makhlouf coming up this hour. We were curious what Tim Allen of the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show thought about the moves and non-moves at the trade deadline, so we'll have him on the phone at 5:35. Brewers, two of the three subjects that you have to pick from in Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane. Right lane, what was your reaction? What did you take away from the Brewers-Cubs series over the weekend? Center lane, are you happy with what the Brewers did and didn't do at the trade deadline? And the return lane, how important is the Packers' run game? 799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Gary?
Yo.
How do you feel about losing 2 out of 3 to the Chicago Cubs in the fashion that the Brewers did over the weekend at Miller Park?
Well, you know, Rami, coming into it, I think we had this question on Friday about how many games you expect the Brewers to win, right? We did that Friday. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said one, right?
Right.
Because I think if you're, well, they're 2.5 games back.
They are now 2.5 back. So 1.5 coming into the series.
So you're still in, you know, good
striking
position.
Distance,
and,
right?
And that's really all you want to do. I just think the Cubs are a better team than the Brewers, and I've been saying that since day one. And if you, and you never play the game on paper, you never do. But if you look at whatever the talks have been about the Cubs, is that they're going to be in a hunt for this World Series for the next 5 years, and I do believe they have that kind of talent. So if you believe they have that kind of talent, and if you think that the Brewers are playing over your head, then you're saying that one game. But what you were hoping is that the Brewers wouldn't get blown out here, and they didn't do it. I hate the moral victory thing. I'm not down with that. But listen, I went golfing the other day, yesterday, and I got the Brewers on, then Tim Allen come on out the show. I'm just next to a guy. This guy is just, he's upset that the Brewers are losing, call them losers, this, that, and the other. Just going off. And I just think that people have lost sight on what this team is all about. I think this team has overachieved greatly. And I don't think folks is under. I mean, the collapse. When was that collapse? Was that 2014 collapse?
Yep.
That was a collapse. To me, if this were to happen, it's not a collapse. And I think people are getting that confused, or something's happened where you think this team is much better than what it really is.
So you're feeling good about it?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I mean, you know, I just think the Cubs are better. But how many runs did the Cubs score?
7.
How many runs did Brewers score?
4.
A 5.
5, I'm sorry, 5. Yeah. Did I get my math wrong?
That's good.
They had 5 over the weekend.
Damn good.
Sparky, when we talked about in the 2 o'clock hour, you seemed more optimistic today than you were on Friday going into the series, despite dropping 2 of the 3.
Yeah, I am, only because I really thought going into this with the way both teams were playing, I thought they could be blowouts all 3 games. I didn't know really what to expect. I thought their best matchup was Sunday with Kyle Davies pitching. And instead, you have an outstanding performance by Suter. And overall, you had 3 really good pitching performances. If you can take your starting pitching and put it together with your bullpen, I thought they did an outstanding job. And that's what gives me hope, because you heard Lewis Brinson talk about the series was the biggest crowds he's ever played in front of.
That's good.
Lots of Cub fans and lots of Brewer fans. He said that. Specifically, that's exactly how he phrased it. And I think that's a huge learning experience.
It is, Steve.
In previous years, back when Ned was here, when it got more important, Brewer teams with Braun and Fielder would tend to collapse and not play as well. They would get tight, and they didn't know how to still play fun while also still amping up the level of concentration maybe a little bit. This Brewers team was in a playoff atmosphere for 3 days and were in all 3 games with a chance to win. And they got one. So obviously you wanted two out of three, if nothing else. But now you need to take that same mentality and that same intensity that you had in those three games, and now you need to take it and use it in your next series against the St. Louis Cardinals, and then use it in the series after that, and continue to use that going forward and act like every series is a playoff series now for the next couple of months as you try to chase and win this division.
So that's the right lane. What did you take away from that weekend series with the Chicago Cubs? 799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057 FM The Fan. Moving to the center lane, the Brewers did make one move before the trade deadline came and went at 3 p.m. today, Sparky. They get Jeremy Jeffers back from the Texas Rangers in exchange for right-handed pitcher Taylor Scott. They also made another roster move. Outfielder Kirk Neuenhuis was DFA'd. How did you feel about what the Brewers did and didn't do before the deadline? Also have to factor in the report from Bob Nightingale over the weekend saying that they said it was Lewis Brinson or bust in talks for starting pitcher Sonny Gray. Your overall estimation and reaction to what they did and didn't do?
I don't think this team is in a position to win a World Series this year. I said that before. So if you were going to, quote, go for it and give up prospects, I think you should be in a much better position to try and compete to win the whole thing. And this team was far more than one, you know, starting pitcher away from doing that. So adding Sonny Gray would have been great, but it would not have probably put you over the top. The Yankees added Sonny Gray. They're in a position where they think they got a better chance to win the AL than maybe the Brewers look at the NL and see, you know, the Dodgers and the Nationals and go, boy, in a seven-game series, we just probably don't have what it takes to compete with those two. The Dodgers added some more pitching as well today as they try to get better. The Nationals have added players. So you weren't close enough to compete for a World Series. Now, as far as the division goes, that still is going to be a tough deal as well. So why give up the future? While you can still help your team with Swarzak and bringing back Jeremy Jeffers, who has struggled in Texas this year, but if he can figure it out, now all of a sudden you are locked in to be able to have good relievers in the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth inning and really shorten the game. You won't be as reliant on using 10 bullpen guys a night, and you'll be able to, you know, hopefully get your starters to about the sixth inning and then let your bullpen take it over and finish out a 2-1 victory, finish out a 3-1 game. And to this point, you really haven't been able to do that all that often. And this is where you really need to solidify it. And hopefully they have, and they didn't give up much.
So that's the center lane. How did you feel about what the Brewers did and didn't do before today's trade deadline? 799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. And in the return lane, it's another training camp, another year of Mike McCarthy talking about the importance of a run game.
I'll just say this, and I'm not joking. Running the football is a number one important. In offensive football. Now, if we want to go back and evaluate last year, I mean, we had a segment of our season where, you know, we didn't have a running back on our squad that played running back in training camp. And so, I mean, you have things that you go through it, because every game I've prepared to call in the National Football League, there's a point in the game where I am determined I'm going to run that damn ball. I mean, you have to run the football. And by the way, we play in Green Bay, Wisconsin, so you don't just start running it in November. But
you do.
Yeah, you have to run the football. Now,
you wait till December.
With Aaron, we have the ability to, you know, have three-way plays or two-way plays. You know, two runs in a pass. You know, a run with two. So you do have options and things like that. And he's an excellent decision maker. So he keeps you in the best play available. And BPA for your call.
Shit, that BPA on you, boys.
So, you know, we do have runs that get called, but they may not get run. And so you have to run the football, because if you don't, a lot of negative things come out of that. Your linemen they're on their heels. You know, you lose the fit. You're really playing uphill against the defensive front seven.
Gary, yes, Gary.
Jamie Cummins,
mm-hmm.
Doug Peterson,
mm-hmm.
If you're listening, I want to be in that BPA this year when I start my little league football team.
What?
Yeah, I want to be in that BPA.
And the best play available.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You're talking
to your coaching staff,
yes,
right,
sir.
Now.
Yes, sir. Jamie Cummins, Doug Peterson, if you're listening right now, let's get in that
BPA. What about your defensive coordinator?
We got to work with him a little bit. He got to work with that joker.
That's Leroy Butler.
Yeah, you know.
For those who don't know.
He's.
what kind of scheme is he running? Is it a 3-4, 4-3? What are we doing?
Multiple.
Base nickel?
Multiple.
Okay.
Multiple.
All right.
He's running a 10-1.
We got to get with it.
Just going to bring everybody and just leave a safety back there.
Yeah,
Gary, how important is the run game for the Green Bay Packers?
It's very important, Rami. What a lot of people don't understand, and we've seen this in this game. He does want to run it. But we have a system we call check with me. And check with me is they have two plays. They have a run play and they have a pass play. And BPA, best play available. And he's trying to give it to the best play available. And Rodgers checks out of it. We've seen it. I mean, I swear to God, I have seen Eddie Lacy run to his landmark, and he just turns around and look right. Like, he wasn't even told. It's like Rodgers and the receiver are the only two people that know that this is what's going to happen on this play. The lineman doesn't even know, because I see the lineman run blocking. I've seen it happen. And then we have seen in years where McCarthy just says, Rodgers, hey, listen. We're not checking out of any more plays. Just run what Lacy need to get some touches. That's why we talked about all the time this offense being disjointed. I mean, we were talking about that. It just doesn't seem like it's smooth.
Yep.
That's because they got three offensive coordinators. That's why sometimes it feels so herky-jerky. Yes, I do believe he wants to run the football more, but I think they're in those BPAs all the time, and that's what ends up happening with this offense.
Sparky, how important is the run game for the Packers?
It's not at all. They don't care about it. Just stop.
You don't believe what I just said, Steve?
Nope.
Neither you just said you said
think,
do it.
You know what?
You
can
don't
I,
believe
can I,
you
can
just
I,
see. You said
can I mediate
you
this?
You
can I mediate this for a second?
You've never seen Eddie Lacy do
you
that.
You don't can I mediate? Believe it either.
You've never seen Eddie Lacy do that.
Let me mediate this for a second. Everybody just stop for
There's
one second.
I need to mediate. I think, I'm not angry.
I think Sparky agrees with what you're saying, Gary.
Yeah.
Sparky, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think he thinks the Packers agree with what you're saying.
Gary also knows they don't agree with what they're saying.
Right.
Dude, you haven't ran the ball to December every year of your career in Green Bay. Seriously, when has he? Anybody? Gary, tell me, what? When has running the football got 20 to 25 carries a game in September and October? It hasn't.
Steve, I'm
so this,
you,
all this
I'm
crap
I'm
at the podium,
all this crap
just
at the podium
stop.
Is about BPA. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, it's about 12.
Yeah.
Right. He's not taking responsibility for it. He's saying, go talk to 12. I want to run the damn football. I do. It's Green Bay. We got to run the football. Go talk to 12. He's the one making the calls because I let him. But if you want to run the football that much, then take it away from him. You don't want to run it that much. No, he does not.
We've reset the big
one
topics.
One second. I'm not done.
Go ahead. Sorry.
If Bill Parcells was the coach, you think it would be the same way?
If he had a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
What?
You heard what I said?
Huh? Yeah.
No.
Billy Parcells.
He ain't letting him go out there and win that ball 50 times a game.
Well,
it's not happening.
Well, no,
not
he
a chance.
Well, what he wouldn't, because Billy Parcells believe in defense, really, and
running the football.
Running the football. I mean, that's his beliefs.
Right. Mike McCarthy says he believes in running the football.
Yeah, but
stop
it. And that's why Billy Parcells is not in the game today, because that kind of played out. The only guy that's doing it on a regular, and they're not really doing it, as close to it as New England, but them jokers throw the ball 45 times a game.
Well, Pittsburgh runs the ball a fair amount.
Yeah, but what has they done?
A multiple Super Bowl race for Ben Roethlisberger.
And their running back is probably the best running back in the league.
Le'Veon Bell, right. Yep.
But they don't do it enough. That's today's game, Steve, is what I'm saying to you. Today's game, bro.
Fine. Then just say that on the podium. Dude, run the football, not a big deal in today's NFL. We're going to run the football to keep teams off balance. That's what we're going to try to do.
I do believe that he would love to run it more.
He's from Pittsburgh. He's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He grew up watching Franco Harris and those guys run the football.
Yes.
How can he not believe in
it? Yes.
Now we good?
Yeah.
We've reset the big topics discussed on today's big show.
Whole topic stupid.
Now you get he said it's stupid. Now you
Whole
get
topic.
The final say on him.
What's no, we've seen it every year.
Right lane, what did you take away from Brewers and Cubs over the weekend? Center lane, are you happy with what the Brewers did and didn't do before the trade deadline and the return lane? How important is the Packers running game? 799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. I was out at my favorite place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports on Saturday night, of course. Talking about Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. Tried some menu items I had never tried before. Got the grilled smoked chicken wings for an appy. That was delicious.
For who?
An appy.
What the hell is an appy?
That's short for appetizer.
Oh, you
clever.
You big league now, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, clever.
The appy.
You never heard anybody use appy?
Never in my life.
The other people use appy.
Never
tweet
once.
Tweet me at Robbie and Sweetie if you use appy.
Damn, I don't think so.
And then I had a main course I've never
Let
tried
me have
before.
Appy, please.
I got the Triple B Bacon Burger.
Yeah, I got something for you.
It's a lot of bacon and a lot of meat and a lot of delicious. And then I had a couple of, they have these Patron Lit cocktails that they make.
Oh, that's the tequila.
Yeah, Patron, it's a bunch right? of different cocktails made with, and this one had Patron and Gary some Nip Nip.
Oh.
Tennessee Honey Whiskey.
Oh.
Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey in it.
Oh.
Ooh, buddy.
I only have that once a year.
I went home warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, you did.
And I checked out Jones versus Cormier because it's the place to watch all your baseball action and all your UFC pay-per-view events on over 46 flat screens, and including that D&B Sports Lounge where I was sitting with three 161-inch screens and eight 75-inch screens. And as I just described, the drinks and food are definitely not bar food. Then I went out to the Million Dollar Midway. I played Walking Dead. I played Spider-Man Homecoming. I played Giant Pac-Man. Did some Papa Shot. We're not going to talk about whether or not me and my girlfriend won those respective games. Dave and Buster's announces corporate...
How can you be so bad at that game?
At what?
You still haven't gotten any better?
No, I wonder. I beat her in Papa Shot.
Oh, good.
She beat me in everything else. Okay. Dave and Buster's announces better. Corporate happy hour parties Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 7 p.m. Half-price cocktails, 250 domestic pints, a dollar off all wine. And for companies looking for their own space, they offer a private billiards room with a large screen to watch the game of your choice and a billiards table for open play. Make it a team-building experience by competing against your co-workers in racing, basketball, and many other multiplayer games. And Dave & Buster's is your headquarters for your fantasy football draft parties with free room rental, free Wi-Fi, free draft kit. Just contact Ben at Dave & Buster's at 414-454-0100. That's Dave and the number again, 414-454-0100. And eat, drink, play, watch sports at Dave & Buster's, Highway 100, just south of North Avenue in Wauwatosa.
Get the latest training camp news from Titletown every day on the only station green and gold fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Twenty's Big Show. We're live in the Holt Chevrolet Studios and resetting the big topics discussed on today's Big Show, giving you the final say on them before we talk with Tim Allen.
So real quick.
Yes.
So
at 5:35.
If I was Eddie Lacy's agent.
Yes.
And I had a choice between the Packers.
Yes.
And the Seahawks.
Yes.
I'm going to the Seahawks all day long.
Why?
They fit him more than what he likes. The quarterback does. The quarterback is a play action pass quarterback. They want to run the football. They rely on their defense. You have Marshawn Lynch. You know that's what they do. I mean, because he's not Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and that's their game.
He's not as good as Aaron Rodgers, no.
Who?
Russell Wilson.
It's but
not
he,
close.
But Aaron,
he's not
but,
as good as throwing the ball as he
but
is
But Russell
out of the
Wilson
pocket.
Is
None
good
of it.
Is good at what he does.
What's that?
Scrambling, play action pass, boot, left and right. He's the best at what he does on that. That is a great offense to fit Eddie Lacy. If I was his agent, if I had a choice between those two, I'm going to Seattle.
For those of you just tuning in and not knowing what we're talking about, in the break, I was telling Gary that Eddie Lacy's next weigh-in, which he has to be at 250, is tomorrow. And if he gets it, he gets $55,000.
Oh, God.
Then he has to weigh in going forward, September, October, November, and he has to be at 245 or below each month. And if he hits it, he gets $55,000 again each and every time he weighs in at 245 or less. And I told Gary, mm-hmm. the Packers should have done the exact same thing with Eddie Lacy, and he'd still be here. And then Gary said, well, the Seahawks are a better fit than the Packers.
Well,
my response to that was,
I highly doubt the
Packers ever offered it.
Back it up. In the beginning, the Packers couldn't offer that in his rookie contract.
I didn't say to offer in his rookie contract.
No.
He just hit free agency. Anybody could offer whatever they wanted.
Let me just finish.
Oh, sorry.
That's what you first said. And I thought you meant that they should have done it, that first contract.
No.
And they couldn't do it. We don't know what happened here with their last contract.
Well, he'll be back. We'll find out.
Whether he was offered it or not offered it.
Right.
The weigh-in and all that stuff. I'm just saying to me, if I'm his agent.
And Gary, they could have done it on the one-year contract that they gave him.
Sure,
and they didn't.
Sure. I'm just saying, if I'm his agent, Seattle is the best place for him.
They should have done it on the one-year $5 million deal that they gave him when he was coming off that injury anyhow, and they had an opportunity to make sure to protect themselves that he wanted to get fat coming off that injury. So we're going to put all these weigh-ins in order to know that you're going to be 100%. They chose not to do it. And every time McCarthy had a weight issue brought up to him, Eddie's fine. Big deal.
He didn't call him on the carpet once.
One time.
After the 2015 season and the season-ending press conference.
You know
right.
what?
But
so
then,
so it's so funny that I had this conversation because I was having this conversation with this couple at the practice facility when we were practicing. We were talking about weight issues. They were talking about Eddie Lacy. And I said, you know what? whether you like it or not, the Packers rely on their guys to come into shape on their own. They don't. They're not over you. They're not trying to do all this stuff. You have your workout plan. You know what you're supposed to do. You're a millionaire. You're making this kind of money. You're supposed to be a self-starter and do what you need to do on your own. And so this couple beside me, as we were talking on this, she goes, you know what? Yeah, one would think that if you're out here making that kind of money, that's what you would like to do. I said, now to a fault, that's how they think. But that's not how everybody thinks. That's why he went to Seattle, because that is a good place for him and it's very structured. Some guys don't fit under that structure, on that sort of umbrella. You have children, too, that you have to parent differently. You can't parent everybody the same. The Packers, under that umbrella, they kind of parent everybody the same. You go off, here's what you're supposed to do, you do it, and when you come back, be in shape.
That would make you a bad manager. Because in order to manage people effectively, you have to know that each person is different.
Right. I just said that.
Right? So that means the Packers are bad at what they do.
As a parent, you do. Well,
that means the Packers didn't understand how to manage Lacy properly.
Let's just say bad for one guy, because right now that's the only guy that we know of that had a weight problem that didn't work under their system.
Well, that's the only guy with a weight problem in the NFL that anybody talks about.
We're talking about the Packers.
I'm just saying in general.
No. Well, I'm talking about the Packers.
Do we know weigh-ins for any other player?
So we talk about the Packers under Ted Thompson. That's the only weight.
Sure. That's a fact.
So it's not a failed system. If you go through his tenure, I don't know how long Joker's been there, 13 years, 14 years. To me, that's pretty good.
Okay. Let's the defense of Ted continues.
That's not
go
defense.
Ahead.
Isn't that, I don't know.
No, that's fine.
Rummy, isn't
fine.
That pretty? You had one guy.
I mean, you had him for how many years? And you didn't know he had a weight issue.
No. That's not one thing. If you want to bang on them for the way they handle things there, the way they handle Eddie Lacy's weight problem, here's what we want you to do. Here's what you should be doing. And then you don't do it. That's on you. One guy that didn't fall under that.
And if he goes off this year, it's on them for not keeping him and doing what they should have
done. If he goes off, that's good for Eddie Lacy. He should go off. He should want to do that. He should want to come back to Lambeau Field and put up 250 yards.
I'm telling you right now, if that guy keeps his weight down all year and the Packers couldn't figure out how to do it themselves, that's going to make them look bad.
You can't win them all.
And that's fine. That's your reaction as a Packer guy.
No.
And I'm telling you, as a fan, that's crap.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Because here's what you align yourself. That's your guy. If that was
my guy.
Well, yeah, it is, because he's an Alabama guy. If it was some other guy,
you'd
never.
You keep going back to that. I care less where he played.
You never say that.
It's about managing people.
Managing people. You're talking about one guy over 14 years, and you're going to say that's a failure.
Nobody's perfect, Gary. Breaking news.
Right, exactly.
So just accept that he screwed up.
I just said that.
No, you didn't.
I did. I said,
you said it's on Eddie. It's not our fault.
Well, it is on Eddie. It is on Eddie. It, ultimately, if that were my child, you screwed up.
Sure he did.
If I was his mom and dad, just me.
He went home with his mom every offseason.
Right. If I was his mom and dad, just me, I would tell my kid, you screwed up. Because this is what you had to do, and you failed to do that. Now, that's just me, being mom and dad.
You're right. I agree with you on that. Sure.
Do you want to take another phone call?
Derek and Tosa, you're
Derek,
on the Wendy's
you want to talk
show.
About Eddie Lacy's weight?
What's up, Derek?
No, I think you guys handled that pretty well.
Well, thank you, Derek. Appreciate it. Let's talk about
you
the Brewers.
I'm going to talk about the Brewers real quick. And first, from this weekend, those three games were just great baseball games.
Yeah, they really were.
And everybody talks about offense and all those things. That is what Major League Baseball should be promoting. It's just good baseball games like that with a lot of drama. But what I want to talk about the trade deadline is what I realized again after today is how brilliant that trade by Melvin was 3 years ago. And the trade by Stearns last year. Of those four guys they traded, only one is still on the team they traded them to. And we got essentially what is probably our ace for the next 5 or 6 years, our starting center fielder, or maybe our starting right fielder, just great trades. And it just proves that I think we're in the right hands here with the Brewers. And everybody should just be really excited. The gap is not that big between the Cubs and the Brewers at this point. Thanks a lot, guys.
I agree with everything you said to the last point. But
what?
The gap's not that big. I think the gap's pretty significant. But regardless of that, I think you're right. I think they are in the hands of the right guy. I think they've got the right guy for the job. Now they just need to let him do his job. Him and Matt Arnold know what they're doing.
How big do you think the gap is?
I was just about to ask that.
Cubs, Brewers.
Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, where are the Cubs and where are the Brewers?
Let's just say players. Yeah. They're probably like 4 players away, 5 players away.
Okay.
I think it's the whole roster? Yeah. Or just position player?
No.
Okay.
Whole roster. Probably like four players away, five players away. Now, if you don't think that's far, then it's not far. To me, that's far because you're missing two front-end pitchers at the front of your rotation right now. Those aren't easy to find, regardless if it's farm system or free agency or trade. And Jimmy Nelson, I'm not sold on Jimmy Nelson being a one or a two in a rotation. If he does this next year, we'll have the conversation again.
Correct.
But this is his first year where he's done it for, and he hasn't finished the year. He's got to get through two more months. If he gets through two more months, it'll be the first year in his career he's ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Peralta did it 1 year too in 2014.
Yep.
So we'll see if he can do it again. And then I'll buy into Jimmy Nelson if he can do it as a front-end guy. But like Gary said earlier in the show, if you go through opening day pitchers for the last several years, it's not, I mean, not good.
Not good.
If you look and see how they panned out after that, it's just not. And now your opening day starter from last year, he's down in AAA trying to figure his stuff out, and they called Wei Chong Wong, which is fine because I wanted him up in the bullpen to begin with. But they don't have that guy like Cleveland did for years where they give the ball to CC Sabathia and get out of his way.
Stop it.
Give the ball to Clayton Kershaw, get out of his way. Now, I'm not asking that they have to get Clayton Kershaw, you know, a dominant Hall of Fame type pitcher, but you need some more consistency in your first couple of pitchers than what they've had over the course of the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years. You just haven't had it. Haven't. You had Ben Sheets. He couldn't stay healthy. You had Gallardo. He was kind of hit and miss.
He was hit and miss. God, you think about that? Yeah. The guys you drafted, Ben Sheets, Gallardo, yeah.
And everybody else they've drafted got hurt.
Yeah.
Or just sucked.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you had to bring in other guys. That's why you had
that's
to
That's why you had to get Greinke, why you had to get Sabathia. Yeah.
Because those guys weren't real number one.
And will they be able to draft pitching better than Doug was? That's, I mean, they show them they can draft other stuff, but will they be able to get pitching to come up through this farm system and hit on pitchers? We'll see.
No gap between Northern Brewer and their competitors, though, Gary.
No, none at all.
Mm-hmm.
Located on Highway
100. I mean, there is, but they're the ones ahead.
The gap is big.
Right.
Like Steve said,
mm-hmm.
Located on Highway 100 Greenfield Avenue, where you can become your own brewmaster, where you can make your own beer. And all the ingredients are right there at the site on Highway 100 and Greenfield Avenue. You walk in. You take a survey of the scene. And the survey of the scene is that they have what we call kits. And the kits are what you can make the beer out of. And then they will show you how to do that. Brewing class is going on every Saturday. And they'll show you. They'll teach you. I call it the kitchen. The kitchen is right there when you walk to the left. And they'll show you how to brew your beer. And you can sample the beer. Guys, go check them out. Northern Brewer, located on Highway 100, Greenfield Avenue, where you can become your own brewmaster.
How did Tim Allen feel about that series and what the Brewers did and did not do at the trade deadline? The host of the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show joins the Wendy's Big Show next. We're in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday morning on Chuck and Winkler, Mike McCarthy once again says they want to run the football. Does he know who his quarterback is? We'll talk to Aaron Nagler, PackersNews.com, at 9 o'clock.
Chuck and Winkler, weekday morning 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's Wendy's Big Show live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. I'm Rami Makhlouf with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. Brewers coming off a weekend series with the Cubs. They drop 2 of 3, make a move before the trade deadline, reacquiring Jeremy Jeffers from the Texas Rangers. We were curious what Tim Allen, the host of the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show, thought about all of this. So he said, you know what? Let's just get him on the phone. Hello, Tim. How are you? Oh, I hit the wrong line.
How about that?
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. What's happening?
Not much. How you feeling coming off that series against the Cubs? Sparky and Gary both seem more optimistic today than they were on Friday about the Brewers' prospects. How about you?
About the Brewers' prospects?
Or I mean the Brewers' players? Prospects for the rest of the season. Their chances, the way that they're playing is what I meant. Sorry.
Let's let the genius play it out. I mean, let's let him play it out. He's doing a masterful job right now. He's rebuilding and competing. Let's see how it works out. However, if this team doesn't make the playoffs by a game or two, then he should have and could have made the difference. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, we have to think in terms of multiple pennant races. Multiples. And by multiples, you got to get in for the first time. You got to go. Let's go. Now, again, maybe they've missed the playoffs by 6, 7, 8 games. I don't know. But let's find out how much they missed the playoffs by, and then we'll retroactively go back and look at this trade deadline.
how did you feel about, I don't know if you saw Bob Nightingale's tweet over the weekend. He said that the A's were basically saying it's Lewis Brinson or bust in a Sonny Gray trade. Is that a guy that you would have kept off the table in any trade talks?
I didn't know the rest of the offer, so I don't know. But if you're just specifically asking if Brinson is touchable, isn't everybody? I mean, was it Sonny Gray and another prospect to fulfill? Was it, you know, was it Brinson and that was it? So I really don't know the offer, you know, that was set on the table. For the most part, though, you know, Sonny Gray, again, would he have made the difference? I don't know. If he didn't make the difference this year, would he have made the difference next year or the year after? And then you could always flop him. So it's tough to answer that. But, you know, Brinson is, from all indications, looking like he's going to need a little bit of development time. But you can kind of see glimpses that he's going to be a pretty good player.
You know, when you talk about this Brewers team and what they did over the weekend, I said I was very impressed by how well they pitched. But at the same point now, I think going forward, now that you got Wei Chong Wong up here, hopefully they leave him up here as that lefty in the bullpen, I'm more than comfortable if they decide to move Hader to the rotation with Woodruff to that rotation now going forward to finish out the season.
I don't know. Their rotation has been actually pitching pretty well. I mean, all told, I mean, that through this funk, I mean, it hasn't been the starters. I mean, these starters are holding them in ball games, barring a start here and there. You had a Blaze that blow up, and Junior Guerra, obviously, you know what they did there. But I mean, I don't know if we can point at the rotation. I don't think it's scrambled the Jets quite yet on the rotation. I'd let this thing play out, get Chase back. You got Suter, Davies, Nelson. Let's let it play out a little bit and see if they continue to keep this team competitive.
Tim, a minute ago when you were answering the question about Lewis Brinson, I'm just going to call him out on the carpet. Gary was sitting over there, shaking, just looking into his microphone and shaking his head. But he won't come on the air to tell us why he was shaking it. What? What's your problem?
Well, because he always says, you know, I don't know what the trade is, and he doesn't. I don't know who they were looking at. Is it a prospect? Is it? And he's right. How do you not know? But I'm going to tell you this. I don't care who it is. I'm not trading Brinson to nobody for nothing because I like the cat that much. I think he has such an upside. I'm willing to see what he can give us. And so there is no gray area for me. I don't need to tell you whether I need to see this guy, what was in the trade or what. I don't. I think the guy, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he's going to be, but from all looks of it, the guy can be special. And I'm willing to roll the dice on that.
And Gary, that's what David Stearns might be thinking too. We don't know that. He may say that is our superstar. He's the closest guarantee to our stud potential, you know, MVP type guy. And he may have set and predetermined all of this prior to this deadline, that there is no way Brinson's in this deal. He is our super stud. He's a, you know, maybe a longtime Brewer, maybe a big heavy hitter.
But Tim, you're right. We don't know that. I mean, no one knows that. So that's what you're banking on. That's what this kid is. So I get what you're saying. Why not trade this kid for something that you know?
Well, and you know, there's a little more clarity for sure, and there's volatility in these prospect lists. We all know that. I mean, there just is. And we saw it with Ryan Cordell being moved. He's a 17th-ranked prospect. I doubt he was a 17th-ranked prospect on David Stearns' list. I would suspect he was much, much lower than that to go out and get a rental reliever here by giving up your 17 based on, you know, a number of charts. So he may have predetermined that Brinson is the guy. He's the new Ryan Braun. He's the guy that's going to be the face of the franchise potentially. I would assume he's thinking that.
That is Tim Allen, host of the Milwaukee Admirals baseball post-game show. You'll hear him after tomorrow's game and most every game right here on the fan. Always a pleasure, Tim. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Timmy.
I'm a little disappointed with the Brewers only winning one of those three games.
Were you?
Very.
What were you hoping, Timmy?
Win the series.
Okay. So so they needed one more win.
Yeah, they did. That was a big 2-1 loss in 11 on Saturday. Boy, that one hurt. Ouch.
Tim, and Steve talked about this earlier. What, they scored 5 total runs?
Over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, score some runs, man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Let's not be so quick to point at the pitching. These offensive guys got to step up. And And hopefully it's going to be starting tomorrow night.
So do they need a bat more than they need a pitcher?
I just think they need to get the bats through the funk. And I don't know if it's necessarily if there was a position or two at second base and center field. I think as of late, that's not getting production there for sure. So is it Villar? Is it Sogard? Is it Perez? Is it at second? Is it in center field? Is it Roczen? Is it Brinson? Is it Phillips? Is it Nieuwenhuis? So, I mean, they're trying. They're trying.
All right, Timmy. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Tim Allen joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. When you're ready to get into or back into the housing market, look no further than Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to take the next step towards your new home. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, this Big Three Basketball League might have picked the wrong guy to be the face of their marketing. We're the Wendy's Big Show. We're in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios, and we'll be right back.
This is the Wendy's Big Show. It's dinner time, and you've worked overtime, so you have no time. But that doesn't mean you have to cut corners. Wendy's quality kids' meals have everything your kids like for just $1.99 after 4 p.m. And now you can get something for yourself, too, at participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Final few minutes of the Wendy's Big Show live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. We've talked about that Big Three Basketball League a couple times here on the show.
We did. It's doing pretty good, it looks like, as far as people going to them.
I watched the first one because you asked me to, so we could talk about it on the show. I was not impressed, and I haven't gone back since. Have you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't think it's all that bad. You just got to get used to being able to watch the 3-on-3.
Oh, I don't mind the 3-on-3. I just think it's
I like seeing the players.
I just think it's not very good basketball.
The players like you forgot about.
Right.
And then they still play. I like
you
that.
You get a Kobe to get in on this next year.
He explodes.
Watch out.
Oh, I'd watch Kobe.
Right, but that's what you need. You need more recent current players that retire and then go play.
Right.
Vince Carter retires, let's say, after next year, and then he goes and plays.
And they said they're going to go after Kobe this offseason.
Right, that's what they need to do.
Well, the guy who's sort
of
been...
You know who should just go play?
Who?
Michael?
That would be
just
good.
One game.
I'd watch that.
I don't think he's in shape enough to do that. Last time I saw Michael, it didn't look like it.
I'd watch it.
But right? Now you're talking about exploding. It just goes straight off.
But the guy who's been sort of up front in the marketing of this thing since the beginning, since Ice Cube announced it, and he's been going around doing the media rounds, tour, every TV show, every radio show that he can get on, a lot of the time he had Allen Iverson by his side. That was kind of the guy that they were selling as the face of the Big Three. He hasn't played in a game yet.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did play in one game.
Yeah, he played in the game, and I think it was, or was it? I don't know. It was the first set of games that they played. He coached. They were chanting for him to come out. I think he was 1 of 5 from the field or something like that, 1 of 4. He didn't want to play, but he did play.
Well, last night he was a no-show at an event. I think it was in Dallas, this Big Three event, and he was nowhere to be seen. Nobody knew where he was. No officials from the Big Three League knew where he was. Well, Iverson was seen gambling at a Chicago-area casino the night before the game in Dallas. One person said Iverson was still at Rivers Casino as late as 3 a.m. on Sunday. He was seen at a Chicago-area restaurant Sunday night wearing the same clothes that he wore at the casino. I love AI. Did they pick the wrong guy to rest their marketing on? Is he reliable enough?
That's AI, though, isn't it? I mean, you knew that before.
That's what I'm saying. Did they pick the wrong guy?
Before you went into that. Who else out there they couldn't pick?
But AI, you can say whatever you want about the practices or whatever, but AI didn't miss games. I mean, when it was time to play, AI went out there and played his heart out.
Marketing thing, right?
Right, but he didn't show up at a game to coach his players in a game.
Right.
He was as no-show as a coach. I don't think you come into this going, well, he's probably going to just miss games all the way around. So it's not Rodman we're talking about. It's Allen Iverson. We haven't heard a bad thing about Allen Iverson, I don't think, in the last, 5-10 years? Anything? Has Allen Iverson even been talked about since he got added to the Big Three? It's not like he's been in trouble or has been some bad
True.
Dude. We haven't heard anything.
So what are you saying, Rami?
I don't know if he's reliable enough to be that dude.
I think he was just screwed up. I don't think he's screwed up. Well, clearly he's screwed up. But I don't think there's any way they could have known this was going to happen, is my point.
Oh, God, yes.
So we disagree.
You think they could have seen it coming?
When you're dealing with AI, don't you know that a possibility could happen? We're in a boardroom doing this, and you look back at a guy's career, you go, now y'all know the Joker, something,
right.
something, some, just so you know.
Right.
Just look at him.
Just look at him. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, look at his career over what he's done in his career.
Oh.
And how things have worked out for him over his career.
Never missed games or anything.
Yeah, he took it seriously when it came to playing an NBA game.
Right. Well, he's never been put in this situation to coach a team.
But he's not really playing in this league. So how seriously is he going to take it? How much does he care?
Don't know. How much are you paying him?
Probably about the same much as he cared about practice.
How much are they paying him?
Thanks to Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, for joining us. Ryan Wood, our Green Bay Football Insider. And Tim Allen of the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show. If you missed that or anything on today's show, check out Fan On Demand at 1057FMTheFan.com. For Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Radio Joe, Intern Amidala, I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to the Wendy's Big Show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow starting at 2.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.